I'm Michael Miller, Germans from Russia bibliographer at North Dakota State University Libraries in Fargo. It's a pleasure to visit with Sister Mary Bernadine Beichler at the Convent of St. Francis in Hankinson, North Dakota. Sister Beichler's original name was Elizabeth Beichler, and Sister Bernadine, it's a real pleasure for me to be here today in Hankinson, and quite a privilege especially to visit with Sister Bernadine because I've known her for many years, and I even knew some of her family members.
That's right, you did.
Yes, and tell me your full name, when you were born, and where you were born.
My full name is Elizabeth Beichler, and I was born in Orne, well, on a farm in Orne, North Dakota, in
and
Pierce County.
And the date?
And the date is October 11th, 1913.
So you were born October 11th, 1913. What was your father's name?
My father's name is Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, Beichler.
And where did your father come from?
From Russia. And he was 11 years old when he came over with his parents.
And do you remember where did they live in Russia? Village?
Kandal. Kandal.
Was one of the Kuchergan villages that I mentioned earlier.
I have a certificate from Ellis Island.
Yes.
And they say from Bessarabia.
Oh.
My grandparents.
Well, it could have been for some reason. We'd have to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And when and where did your father die?
My father died in Balta, North Dakota.
He's buried in the
and
cemetery?
He's buried in the cemetery in Balta.
And do you remember about what year he died?
He died in 1973 on February 22nd.
February 22nd, 1973. And what was your mother's name and her maiden name?
My mother's name was Catherine Thomas. Now, I cannot tell you much about my mother because my mother died when I was barely over a year old.
Oh, and
so I really don't know too much about my mother.
And she was born in South Russia also?
She was also, evidently, we don't know for sure, but I do have some information here that I just happened to look at the other day. It really doesn't say.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, the American immigrant wall of Michael Beichler family, Bessarabia. But I think maybe that with some further checking that may not be completely correct. But we can check on that later.
Yeah,
let's do that later.
Okay.
We'll check on that when we look at the pictures. Now, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I was the only one of my dad's first wife.
I see.
And then I had
the only child.
Then my father married again, and I had nine half-brothers and sisters.
And your stepmother?
My stepmother is Barbara Bull.
Barbara?
Bohl. B-O-H-L.
Now, was she German-Russian, too?
She was German-Russian, too.
And she came from the old country, too?
She came from the old country. I think she was only, 2 years old or something like that when she came over. She was a baby.
And where did she settle?
As far as I know. And they settled in Fulda, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. And where and when did she die?
She died in... 1983,
mm-hmm.
on June 20th.
Up in Pierce County also?
She died in Rugby at the nursing home.
Mm-hmm. And she's buried in?
She's buried in Baltimore next to Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, Catherine Thomas, is also buried in Baltimore.
Also in the cemetery?
Yeah, she was first buried at what they call the Kondal Cemetery, or Kondal, whatever it was. And then when the Balta opened the cemetery, they transferred the body.
Right.
And she's the one who has the Iron Cross.
Mm-hmm. Now, so your father remarried, and he had nine more children. So you have, and those were your stepbrothers and sisters.
Well, half-brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you were the only child from the first marriage.
First marriage, yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. Did your, of course, your mother you don't remember.
No.
But your stepmother, did she talk about the old country?
She was too young.
Too young.
Yeah.
What about your father?
Well, my father didn't talk much about it. This is what I feel bad all the time because unless he did, and it went in one ear and out the other one, as somebody said, you know, we weren't interested in those days. Mm-hmm. And the furthermore, when we started school, we could not speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we were disciplined because we were speaking German, because we were not supposed to speak German in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose in those days, then everybody said, quiet.
Was this in the country school?
No, this was in Balta.
Oh, you went to school in
I
town?
I went to Galvin.
So you were
in town.
And how far did you live from Balta?
6 miles.
So how did you get to school every day?
On the bus. With the horses.
Oh, you mean there was a horse and buggy?
Horse and buggy or a horse, or one of these buses, you know, those homemade things.
And so it was...
They picked up about 3-4 families.
Really? Very interesting.
Yeah, uh-huh. It is.
Mm-hmm. Did you, when you started the first grade, could you speak English?
All I knew was my name, and I asked my mother, what shall I say when they say my name? And then she said, in those days, it was supposed to be, Lizzie was supposed to be English for Elizabeth. And I forgot all about it, so I said it in German, Elizabeth Bickler. And I always stayed Elizabeth. Well, Elizabeth was English too at the same time.
Yes, right.
So I always stayed Elizabeth.
Were there many other students that didn't speak German?
Oh yes, that didn't speak English.
Or didn't speak English?
Oh yes, there were only about, I imagine, about 3-4 families that were not German in that school.
Mm-hmm. And you had an English-speaking teacher.
What English-speaking teachers, but we must have picked it up very fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that started in the home too.
Because my mother at that time couldn't speak English at all.
Mm-hmm. Let's, before we go on with life back mm-hmm. in Pierce County, I'm going to ask you a few questions about your religious life, so we're sure we're fresh to ask those. What were some of the religious customs practiced in your home that related, for example, to feast days? Was that important?
Oh yes, that was very important in feast days. In fact, that I wrote an article on that some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the feast days, of course, was the name day.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't celebrate any birthdays, but we celebrated name days, father and the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And those were always big parties with German, with sometimes of dancing. And of course, every church feast was very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in our home, we had an altar in a corner. And it was my godfather who made those altars, and that was Father Joe Axman's father, which by marriage we were related.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had this altar in this corner, and that's where we prayed our night prayers and our morning prayers.
Mm.
And there, I remember there was a statue of the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph in there, and candles. And I remember as a young little girl, I'd go out in the pastures and pick wild flowers, and kept flowers in there.
So that was a very important part of the home.
That was very important, and of course we had to say our grace before and after meals.
Mm-hmm.
That was important. And my grandmother was a very religious woman. My paternal grandmother was
mm-hmm.
a very religious woman.
What was her name?
Margaret Bickler.
Margaret, what was her maiden name, her family?
Her maiden name was Reiter.
Reiter?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What about New Year's? Was there anything special on New Year's Day?
Well, not exactly. Christmas, of course, was very important.
Mm-hmm.
We had, in those days, when I was still home, we were very, very poor in the beginning. We had an orange or a couple of pieces of candy. We thought we had the world, you know, for
mm-hmm.
Christmas. And of course, the Skrishkingu came
mm-hmm.
and stopped, and of course if we had to say some prayers, they'd ask us what prayers we knew, and
mm-hmm.
we had to say some prayers before we'd get anything.
In German?
In German.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What about this question? What were strong religious influences in your life? Were there some strong religious influence from your home that made your decision to join the convent?
Well, that, and also I had an uncle going to St. John's. And we wrote quite a bit to each other. He was going to be a priest, but he didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also on my mother's side, on the Thomas side, there was also a nun that I had corresponded with. But then when I was 16, well, before I was 16, all of us, we in those days, my brother and I were shocking, you know. And we'd always shock, so we'd have one row that we could rest.
Oh.
We always stayed behind the binder. And I don't know, all of a sudden, it was just like something told me that you should go to the convent. But I said, I don't think that's anything, you know. But then we had retreat master, Father Theophilus. He was a saint. And he spoke to the boys and the girls separate. And when he spoke to us, and I was 16 years old, and when I came out of the church and my my aunt was with me, my dad's sister, and I said, well, Aunt Margaret, I'm going to go to the convent. I know what I'm going to do. And she turned to me and she said, you? I don't think you'd make a good nun or something like that. Well, I left it at that. Until I was past 18 already, but this urge was coming stronger and stronger. Then I finally wrote to my uncle and didn't tell my parents at all. And I wrote to my uncle, and at that time all the sisters, the girls that were leaving from the Orne or Balta Parish were going to Stella, New York. And so then I thought, well, that's an awful lot of far away to go away. Then my uncle wrote back and he said, I've already talked to the sisters down here. At that time, the sisters cooked at St. John's in Collegeville. And they said, you can come any time to Hankinson. You've got a mother house right in Hankinson. You don't have to go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do with this letter?
Mm.
Is that anything? Then I showed it to my mother. And then she said, well, are you really serious? And I said, well, yes, I am serious. And then she said, well, you better talk to Dad. Well, it took me a few days to get nerve enough to tell Dad. He didn't say anything for a while. I just gave him the letter and didn't say anything for a while. And then he said, well, you know, when you go, you can't come back anymore. Those days, the sisters don't go home anymore, see. I says, I know that. But I still want to go, if I may. Well, if that's what you want, he said, well, then, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
So you had some encouragement from the home.
Yeah, I had encouragement from the home. They didn't say, no, you can't go. Or,
right.
Or I was quite a bit older than my siblings were.
Mm-hmm.
And those days we were poor, we didn't have much. And so I thought, well, if they don't let me go, I'll just have to wait until I'm older. But in those days, well, the girls already got married at 18 and 19 years old, and I thought, well, I was old enough now to go up on my own, you know, to do my own thing.
And
I didn't want to get married. I wanted to be a sister.
And, of course, you were in a strong Catholic community, so you had some encouragement from people, too.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's how I've been left.
Now, beyond prayer and worship, how was the family involved in the parish? Were they involved in the parish work?
Well, our parish was in Orne. We went to school in Balta, but we went to the Orne parish because we were only 4 miles from Orne.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say the Germans from Russia were very strong in their religion. It meant a lot to them, and it did, and to us kids too, you know, because their parents were. And of course, in the beginning, the priest had a German and an English sermon, so we had to sit through the two sermons.
Mm.
And we had only Mass every other week, because Blumenfeld was a mission to Orne, and so they all was changed off. And then every time we went to church, well, we had a good confession, and I said to Mother, well, Why do we always have to go to confession when we go to church? And she says, well, don't you think you've got any sins in 2 weeks?
That's cute. What were some of the religious training that you received then after you left Pierce County?
After I came here?
Yes.
Well, then, of course, that was in... I was a postulant. Well, we were postulants for 6 months, and I still have to go to school because I did not finish school. So I, at the same time, I was finishing high school here.
Oh.
Because I didn't finish school at home because I had to stay home and work because I was the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, I met my county superintendent, and she always, after I was a sister, and she said, oh, I always felt so sorry for you because right at the time we were almost ready for the final exams in the 8th grade, you had to stay out and do the work and you didn't come back to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, my dad needed me and I didn't think I needed anyway. Mm-hmm. And you know, you, when you're kids, you don't think ahead, you know. But I had a very good training here, and I was here two years before I entered the novitiate, but I finished my high school here.
Finished your high school here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then once you came here, did you have to have financial support from home?
Well, at that time we didn't, because of the fact that we were, in those days, that was during the Depression years,
mm-hmm.
and so we didn't have to do that. We, of course, we had to work here too. We worked.
So once you came here to Hankinson, was there much contact with back home, those early years?
Only by letters. Although, when I first came, as I said, 1 year I was still going home. And when I, the first time I came home was after, I think it was April. I came in April, and this was in July. And We were sent home until school started again. We first had to go to summer school, and then we were sent home. When I got off the train, and my dad said, are you home for good now? And I says, no, Dad, only for 2 months, and then I go back again. Because he thought, well, I had enough already of the convent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
when you came down here to Hankinson, were there quite a number of other German-Russian sisters?
No, there weren't.
There weren't too many.
After that, there were a number of them.
Came later.
Mm-hmm, came later on. In fact, I think I was the only German Russian at that time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This was in what year?
That was in 1932.
32.
Mm-hmm.
So you, during the Depression years, you were here in Hankinson most
of
those years?
Yes, I was, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was here.
Now, did your family ever come down here to visit?
On my reception, they came when I was received
into
the novitiate, and that was in 1935.
So
yeah,
about that time period,
the family came, yeah. And in those days, you know, the roads were bad, and well, it's quite a distance.
Mm-hmm. Especially at that time.
Yeah, at that time.
Now, did you ever get involved in your work with this anti-guard law?
No,
I didn't. Because of your work, you weren't affected by that.
No, because I went into nursing.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And where did you do your work?
In nursing, I graduated from St. Bernard's Hospital in Chicago. I was five years in Chicago.
Really?
And I graduated from the School of Nursing and then from Loyola, BS in Nursing Education.
At Loyola University of Chicago?
Loyola University. Mm-hmm.
And then you came back to North Dakota?
Then I came back here to North Dakota. And I did also, in the last 6 months I was in Chicago, I also took a graduate course in obstetrics,
mm-hmm.
maternity work. Then when I came back here, we did not have any hospitals yet.
Mm.
And so I just worked here, and I was working for the Red Cross in Richland County, and Bishop, or not Bishop, Cardinal Munich, Minch, you know, mm-hmm. he was in Germany. And one time the sisters from Germany thought that they needed somebody over there to direct your schools of nursing because, well, the medical field was very low in Germany at that time, right after the war. Mm-hmm. And then Cardinal Minch happened to stop here, and my superior talked to him, and he said, oh no, he said, an American could not work over there right now because things are so bad that he would not recommend her going over there at this time. Maybe in a few years, but not now. See, that was right after the war.
In 1945,
yeah,
and after.
So that was... And then in 1940, in the fall of 1947, we got our first hospital. Oh, then I was working at St. John's in Fargo.
Oh.
For 4 years. Mm-hmm. I was 3 years obstetrical supervisor, then 1 year director of nurses. Mm-hmm. Then I came back here because I felt that I should come back to the community because I've been away from the community for so long. And, you know, you miss community when you're gone because this is home, you know.
Right.
And so they said, well, you think you can get enough nursing around here? And I said, well, I don't know. Whatever. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I made a vow of obedience, so therefore I failed whatever they want me to do. Well, I'll do. Well, I taught the fifth and sixth grade.
Oh.
For 1 year.
For 1 year only.
1 year only, yeah. And then we got a hospital, see?
Where at?
Right here.
Oh, nearby.
Right here.
Oh, I see. And so that worked out fine.
That worked out fine, yeah.
And so you, then the rest of your years were in the hospital?
Oh, always in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we started our hospital in Drayton. That was the first one. And so they opened one after the other. And I was hospital administrator for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And also besides that, I did obstetrical work because mm-hmm. in smaller hospitals you kind of
do many things.
Do many things, yeah.
Now let's
or
go
wear
back.
Many hats.
Let's go back to your early childhood years
uh-huh.
again. Did you with your being the oldest in the family, you had to do a lot of supervising and a lot of chores.
Oh yes, oh yes.
And what were some of those chores?
Well, some of those chores was cooking and cleaning house and taking care of the babies.
Mm-hmm.
And milking cows.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything.
What about someone in the family who didn't want to do their work? Was there much discipline?
Oh, yes. There was a lot of discipline.
A lot of discipline.
Mm-hmm. But my dad never had to use a strap.
Never used a strap?
No, just looked at you when he said something. You knew he meant it.
When you first went to church in Pierce County, mm-hmm. were the religious services in English or German?
German.
German only?
Well, Latin and German.
Latin and German, and catechism too?
Mm-hmm. Everything was in, well, catechism was then in, by that time it was in English,
mm-hmm.
but the sermons were all in German. Then they finally started German and English, so you'd have two sermons.
Do you remember that when they started in English?
I just can't remember. Well, I was 8 years old when I made my first communion. So it must have started before that.
When you were back, when you spoke only German in the home.
Yeah.
Was there encouragement to learn English quickly?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There was encouragement to learn English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so there was reading materials so that
oh,
you
yes.
learn English.
Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The parents...
Well, my father spoke English. My mother, she didn't.
Did she learn English?
She did. I mean, she could help herself, but...
Basic English,
but other than that, I don't think she ever...
Did your folks encourage the family to go on for education?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the beginning years, they didn't so much, but later on, they did.
What about confirmation? Was that important?
Oh yes, that was very important.
You remember what all took place to be confirmed?
Well, it was of course the church ceremony and the bishop, Bishop Ryan,
mm-hmm.
confirmed me. One of the first, not the first, the second bishop, I guess, in the Fargo Diocese. And of course, you had a big celebration after that,
mm-hmm.
just like. Mm-hmm. But that was very important to me, the confirmation.
So your family had a strong religious
yes,
tone to it.
Oh yes, it did. It mm-hmm. did. And I think they got that from my grandmother. My grandmother was very strong in religion. In fact, she used to tell me of what they did when they first came to this country.
Tell me a little about that. That's interesting.
They didn't have any priest. They didn't have any churches. And so they would meet in each other's home, and it was mostly grandma's home. Mm-hmm. And they would read from the scriptures, or they'd say the rosary. So they had their own services. And once a month, I think, there was a priest that came where they could have mass in a home until they built the church.
Mm-hmm.
But she always kept the family together, and she saw that you kept Sunday. Sunday was a holy day.
Did your folks talk much about the old country back in Russia?
No, they didn't.
Didn't want to talk much about it?
Uh-huh.
Now, everyone in your family, did they come to America? As far as you know, your uncles and aunts?
Yes, they all came to America.
No one stayed behind?
No one stayed behind. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, when there was a death in the family, how was that taken place? Was that quite a grieving experience?
Well, yes, it was. And of course, we never had any, except the only one I can really remember was my aunt. And this was my stepmother's sister. And of course, they had all night wakes in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I liked Aunt Amelia so much that my mother gave me permission to go along for this night
mm-hmm.
wake. And they would stop and they'd pray and they'd visit and, you know, but all night they sat there. And
they sat there. This was in the home?
This was in the home. Mm-hmm.
They still had the bodies in the home?
Oh, yes, they had the bodies in the home.
Was there some singing too?
I don't know.
Probably
not
too much
singing. I don't remember them singing.
A lot of prayer.
Prayer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of a sad situation. I think they were married only a year, and she was pregnant, and she got a ruptured appendix.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to abort the baby, and she wouldn't let them. So, of course, they both died.
Mm-hmm. Now, your mother and your father in their home, they must have had some family heirlooms, you know, some keepsakes.
Yes, they did, but I don't know what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel bad about that, because when they moved, and then after mother went to the nursing home, they had a sale, and I'm sure all, you know, you're so far away from
yes.
everything, and so I really don't know what happened. I did ask my brother, well, what happened to this and this picture that they used to have in the home? Because they had a beautiful picture of Mary and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Those old pictures, and they said, well, he didn't know what happened to them, you know. It was kind of, I felt kind of bad about it, but there was nothing I could do.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there anyone, so there is really no one in the family who's keeping like these family treasures?
Not that I know of. Mm-mm.
Who's still living in your family?
Well, they're all living except one.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Are they mostly in North Dakota?
Well, there are some, one, two, three of my, four of my brothers. My brothers are all in North Dakota,
mm-hmm.
and one sister is still in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
have you had a family reunion recently?
No, we haven't.
Mm-hmm. How was Christmas celebrated in the family? We talked a little about that, but
yeah,
was there a Bilsenigel?
Oh, yes, the Bilsenigel and the Christkindl.
Uh-huh. You remember those distinctly?
Oh, yeah, I know, remember those. I had to make the Christkindl one year before I went to the convent.
But as a child, you remember them two coming?
Oh, yes, I remember two coming. I remember the first time I looked at somebody's shoes, the Christkindl shoes, and afterwards I said, oh, that was Aunt Margaret.
Oh, that's cute. You were smart enough to know that already.
Yeah.
Of course, at the time, you didn't tell her that.
No, I didn't tell her that. I said to my mother, well, that was Aunt Margaret. No, she just don't say anything.
Uh-huh. What about Easter? We just recently celebrated Easter.
Yeah, Easter was a great celebration in the home, too.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we had to make all the Good Friday, Good Holy Saturday, and all those Holy Thursday. And I was just, we were just talking, excuse me, some of these customs that we had on Christmas, on Easter morning. Mm-hmm. We kids, we used to make nests. And and of course,
in
we'd
the
make
house?
These nests in the dirt, you know,
in
outside.
The dirt? Oh.
Yes. And then we put a little straw in it.
Uh-huh.
Then we would take a board and put a board on top because we were afraid that it's going to snow or something during the night. And now who's going to take the board off? And then we said, well, the first one to wake up in the morning, they better get down early and take those boards off.
Uh-huh.
Well, one time I went down to take the board off, and that was fine. But then, after we got up, there was nothing in our nest.
Mm.
And my dad hid everything all over the yard.
He went out that night?
I think he was out before I was. And the board was still on the nest.
Oh, I see. That was cute. But that's where they had their Easter baskets for their... it was out in the yard.
Out in the yard,
not
yeah.
inside.
No, not inside.
Uh-uh. Well, did they make? Did they have special foods at Easter time?
Oh yeah.
What did they usually make?
Usually ham, and what you have nowadays, we usually had. And
Was there a lot of cooking in your house?
Cooking. Oh yeah, there was a lot of cooking, a lot of Kuchen, and all those German and good noodle soup, chicken soup.
Do you remember some of those old German-Russian weddings?
You know, I think I only attended one of those German-Russian weddings, and that was after I was a sister.
Oh.
Really. And that was one of my nephews, and that was a three-day affair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a three-day affair.
Mm-hmm. So you, because you were in the convent, you didn't get back home to attend a lot of those
no,
weddings?
No, you see, in the early days in the convent, we didn't go home at all, except if there was a death in the family. But then it was changed, and then it was after 11 years. Well, 11 years is a long time.
Yes.
When I first came home after 11 years, when I walked into that house, I thought the ceiling was going to fall on me.
Really?
Well, because you're here, you've got everything so high.
Yes.
And in a home, you get that low, you know. And I felt so funny in there because I thought that ceiling was going to fall on me.
Oh.
But and then of course it was changed to 5 years, but now we can go home every year, or if we do have anything going on in the family, we're allowed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like a year ago I was at my nephew's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So
in your house at back home, was there much music or entertainment?
There wasn't much music in our house. I mean, not as long as I was home, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think much of in the summertime, you know, we would get out and play, but in the wintertime, well, we all had lessons to do and a homework to do.
When they had people getting together at your house and so forth, what were the children allowed to participate?
Oh no. You had to be in another room.
I see. Like when they were playing cards. Or
yeah, playing cards. And, yeah.
And what did the kids do then?
Well, the kids did their lessons and then went to bed.
So there wasn't much playing around?
No, there wasn't much playing around.
Was it quite strict?
Oh yeah, my dad was strict that way.
Was he strict?
Yeah.
Was there, did your mother have much to say on family decisions?
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
She participated in decisions?
She participated with the decisions.
Mm-hmm. If they were going to buy something?
Yeah,
or,
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there was a partnership there.
Oh yeah, there was a partnership.
Mm-hmm. What about those dance halls? I mean, there must have been dances, wasn't there?
Yeah,
did you get
were,
too many
but
dances?
I never went there.
You never went there?
Hmm.
Because of too much work at home?
Well, I just didn't care to go.
Well, you just weren't into dancing?
No, I wasn't into dancing.
I see. So you just decided, of course, and then you...
Well, at the age of 16, I already wanted to go to the convent, but
yes.
I knew I couldn't because I was needed on the...
Right, so your interests were different than
different,
social.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the games? What kind of games did kids play or children play at the time?
We used to play tag or anti-over.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what that is,
mm-hmm.
anti-over. And I don't know what else we played. Oh, I can't think of that other one. Just slipped my mind now.
Were there many books in your house?
Books? My father was a very avid reader.
He was?
Yeah. In fact, I think he went to the library once a week in Orne.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a public library?
Was it? Well, evidently there must have been a public library. I just can't remember, but I know. And my mother used to get so mad at him because he'd start a book and she'd wake up at night and he was still reading.
Now, were these in German or in English?
No, English.
By then he was already English.
Yeah.
So he was an avid reader.
Yeah.
So he was...
And I have two, and a couple of my sisters are avid readers.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So it developed into family.
Yeah.
In the children, and that's
yeah.
very important. Then it develops into self-education.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my father was a self-educated man because he only made the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a self-educated man, and he was county commissioner for many years.
What was his profession?
Farmer.
Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But he was county commissioner, and he was also on the school board. And
did he get active with politics?
Well, I don't know. He must have, because one time I said to him, when I was already in the convent, and I said, was home, and it was shortly before some election, I think. And I said, Dad, what are you, a Republican or a Democrat? How can you ask such a question? North Dakota, we're all Republicans.
That's changed, hasn't it? Yes, we have Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah,
in office.
I know it. And he said, what are you? And I said, well, I don't know, but I vote for the man that I like.
Yes. Now let's go back again to some of those home experiences.
Uh-huh.
Were there any healing techniques when somebody got sick?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Those were important.
Those were very important because my grandmother was a midwife, and she also, when anybody was sick in the neighborhood, they would call grandma. And I got a lot of her things from my grandmother.
Mm.
And I used to go out and with her to pick herbs, and I didn't know what they were at that time. Now I feel bad, because I don't. But the one thing was the camellia tea.
Oh yes.
And of course, that grew in our yards in those days. And I always said she used the camellia tea, almost like an antiseptic. I remember my brother. The parents were gone, and my aunt was supposed to be babysitting, and my brother evidently fell against a milk peel or something and they cut his cheek. And of course my aunt was supposed to take care of it, but she didn't want to take any responsibility on that. So I got some hot camellia tea in there and washed it out and cleaned it and put a tape over it.
Mm.
And I can't see a scar. I just saw him a couple of weeks ago. I still don't see a scar there.
Really? Of course,
he was only a kid, you know.
Hmm.
And I know my grandmother always, when somebody was sick, and my mother would say, well, what should I give them, a stomachache or something? Oh, she said, just make some chicken soup.
Hmm.
And she had great faith in chicken soup, and so do I.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I think my love for nursing came from my grandmother.
I was just going to ask you.
And
that.
I went into obstetrics, too, at this, you know. Mm-hmm.
Was there any brauche? Remember, that was like folk medicine.
Oh.
Was that practiced at all around your home?
I can't remember.
You can't remember everyone ever going to a lady who would pray for someone?
No, I can't remember that.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh. The only thing I remember is my grandmother going to the neighbors and when somebody was sick, and one time the neighbors had diphtheria. And she had, of course, they called her. And my father put all the kids in the car and we were going down to grandma's. And my grandfather came running out of the house and he said, Louis, you take those children right home. Don't let them get out of the car because we're quarantined.
Mm.
because of mother being up with the Frittles and they have diphtheria. Well, when the health inspector used to come, she would go out and hide herself in the barn because they needed her. They couldn't take care of this child, but the child did die of diphtheria. He was about my age. Mm-hmm. And so everywhere where she was called, they all was Mrs. Beekler. She knew how to take care of.
So she had a lot of remedies.
Yeah, and I met the doctor one time, what's years after, even when I was his sister, was still alive. And I said, my grandmother was a midwife years and years ago. And I said, I know that you used to work for her. And I said, I wonder, didn't she ever was worried about it? He said, I never had to worry about her because she always knew if there was going to be a problem and she would let me know. Mm-hmm. So I never worried about her.
Very interesting. She did a lot of those different folk medicines. Did you ever write some of that down?
The only place where I wrote it down was this article that I had written in this one book we were talking about last time.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear any other languages spoken?
No.
Back home?
Just German.
Just
English,
German.
And English.
You never heard any other languages
mm-hmm.
spoken?
Mm-hmm.
Any like phrases they would say? Special phrases?
Oh, I can't even think of any now.
Any old phrase? That would
look like? I know they had some old phrases, but
mm-hmm.
some old phrases you can't even translate into English.
Right. Well, if you ever think of them, write them down or
okay.
as best you can.
Yeah.
Did you learn the German language so you could read and write it?
Well, after I came to school here, I took 2 years of German.
Oh.
I think I could write it if I put my mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can read anything in German.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yes.
Wonderful. That's
oh,
good
yeah.
to know that.
Oh, yeah. I can read anything. Unless it's in the German script, then I have a hard time.
Well, in your home, did the family subscribe to any German newspapers?
Oh yes, the Staatsanzeiger that was always there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dakota Farmer?
Dakota Farmer.
Those were always the two papers that came.
So they did receive a German newspaper?
Oh yes.
And that was read cover to
cover? And then there was also another one. What was that?
Was that called the North Dakota Herald?
Yeah. And then another one.
Dakota
the Wanderer. The Wanderer.
The Wanderer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were there some religious or Catholic publications that were received
then
in German?
I don't remember. I can't remember. I don't think so.
What kind of information did the family get from those newspapers? Do you remember? What was in those newspapers?
I can't remember.
Of course, you were quite young.
I was quite young, but in the Dakota Farmer, I was always looking for the recipes.
Oh, is that right?
Because I love to cook.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, let's go back to the time when you were on the farm. Do you remember the days when there was no electricity?
When I left, there was no electricity yet.
When you left, even?
In 1932, we didn't have electricity.
So you remember the kerosene
lamp? Oh, yes. The kerosene lamp and the gas lamps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
And the coal?
And the coal.
Mm-hmm.
And no running water.
Do you remember anyone living in a sod house?
Yes, my sister lived there after she got married.
She lived
in a sod house.
What was her name?
Magdalene Hager. She married a Hager and they lived near Sells.
Mm-hmm.
And before they moved to Montana, they lived in a sod house.
They did?
Uh-huh.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So did you visit that sod
yes,
house?
Yes, I did. I visited that sod house and that was quite something.
Do you still remember it?
Oh, yes. Those,
what do you remember about
those
it?
Those big walls, and
yes.
It was must have been in the summertime, as we never go home in the winter in the summertime. And it was so cool in there. And I said, my, is that cool? And she said, well, look at those walls. I think they are. They keep all that heat out.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, but of course they had remodeled inside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, the first telephone? Or were you already in the convent?
I was already gone.
You're already gone by then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was, of course, true for the radio, too.
The radio.
But you must remember.
We had no radios.
But you remember the radio in the convent.
In the convent, yes.
The first radio.
First radios.
Were you able to, were you allowed to listen to the radio?
Well, in those days we weren't, unless with as a community, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they listen to anything?
But then, of course, so, well, see, I left again in 36 to go to Chicago to school. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there we had the
more access to it,
yeah.
Do you remember some of those old programs?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What were some of those old ones, you remember?
Oh, there was that Bing Crosby, but there was another one way, way back. Abbott and Costello.
Uh-huh.
And then in Chicago, every Saturday, we were a group of three sisters boarding at this convent. And one of those sisters who was in nurse's training used to be a drama teacher.
Oh.
And she would tell us about these operas that were coming on a Saturday,
uh-huh.
And we'd listen to the operas. And there I got to really appreciate the operas. To this day, I still turn my radio on and on Saturdays and
beautiful.
Watch or listen to the opera.
Mm-hmm. And watching TV, you were here at, by then you were here at Hankinson.
Oh yeah, I was here at Hankinson, oh yes.
You remember the first TV program?
Gosh, I can remember that.
Do you remember those early years watching the Lawrence Welk show?
Oh yes.
Was that important?
That was important, the Lawrence Welk show. And I think probably was the only program we were allowed to watch for a long time.
Was that important to the convent? To watch?
Oh, yes.
A lot of people watch it?
Oh yeah. Well, they still do.
They still do?
Just do the elderly? Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yes, every Sunday night there.
They're watching.
When the group that is not playing cards is in, they're watching Lawrence Welk.
You probably saw us in December then.
Yeah, oh yes, we did. Well, they all made a point to look at it.
Well, I hope we did okay.
Yeah, you did okay.
Which family member do you remember best? If you look back and you think, oh, who do I remember best? Who do you think had the most influence on your life, or who do you remember best in the family?
In my immediate family?
In your immediate family.
Well, of course, my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be the first ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially my dad. I was close to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And probably it was because of the fact that, you know, my stepmother, although
yes.
She was very good to me, I can't complain about her.
Uh-huh.
She was very good to me.
But your father was your real father,
and
he was your only child, and he felt a certain kinship.
Yeah. In fact, sometimes I would hear my mother say to somebody, yeah, he always kind of dotes on her.
Oh, you were a favorite. Did your grandparents come along over from the old country?
Well, my grandparents came with the children.
That's right, they came with the children.
They came with the
but
children.
Then did you remember your grandparents?
Oh, yes, I remember my grandparents very well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Did they talk about the old country?
My grandfather used to, but he always called them the Bolsheviks.
Mm.
Yeah. And in fact, if you said something to him about it, he'd get quite upset, because he must have had some bad experiences over there, you know.